Hi everyone, we're getting ready to start the radio show. I hope you tune in, and it's going to be a great radio show. We're going to talk about how our past does not define us, and how we can move forward and make a difference in the world and shine a light nonetheless. Right. Because we all have a purpose, thank God.
We do? What's my purpose?
I'm still looking for my purpose.
And you know,
don't know what space is, and crowds are shut down. I'm overstimulated, nobody gets it. Say I'm too sensitive, I can't listen, cause I'm eyeing the exits. Is mine, is it mine, or am I to judge? Oh, I should be fine, but it's all too much. I get overwhelmed so easily, my anxiety creeps inside of me. Makes it hard to breathe, what's come over me. Like I'm somebody else. I get overwhelmed so easily. My anxiety keeps me silent. When I try to speak, what's come over me feels like I'm somebody else. I get overwhelmed. I should be fine, but it's all too much.
The Cure with Amy Cabo. Life can bring many difficult situations, domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. Welcome, Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Good afternoon, and welcome to The Cure Radio Show. I'm your host, Amy Cabo, with my amazing partner, Boris.
I'm still amazing.
I said amazing, not holy.
Okay.
Our show is available live on your radio, also live through our app, The Cure, on any smartphone, and our website, godisthecure.com. We are broadcasting live from Miami through satellite, available on 35 radio stations in more than 11 states, and live on social media soon after the show, any podcast player. This show deals with suffering and the tenacity of the human spirit, the will to survive, and the courage to keep moving forward, despite any obstacle, with the help of God, who enables us to help each other. We do provide testimonials to let people know that we're not alone. And in this show, the testimony started with me, having been a survivor from child abuse well into young adulthood. We also have experts in several fields and inspirational speakers that are willing to help us with valuable information, knowing that education is necessary, awareness is crucial, and comfort is needed. And I do believe we all suffer from something or have suffered from someone, and I hope that we can be a source of healing for each other. My healing came from God. But other forms of healing are presented as well to service everyone, as we all know that life can be challenging, but there's always someone who cares. At least God does. The song we played earlier was Overwhelmed by Royal and the Serpent. And this is my take. So many things can shock us all at once, making us feel overwhelmed and needing space. Who can help us when it hits us from all directions, if not for God's unconditional love and grace? It's God's most precious children the enemy loves to attack, so we can question ourselves, believe we are broken, like there's no way out and there's no turning back. When we become someone we don't recognize, insecurity and fear kicks in, and it's ourselves we despise. The enemy is clever and takes advantage of bad situations. But God is bigger and lets us know it's simply temptations. God will provide all that we need and open our eyes, for our Heavenly Father is never mute to our cries. And today's guest is Quetel Decombe, all the way from Canada. Quetel is an ordained minister of the gospel, best-selling author, and certified life coach. In confidence healing using biblical tools and principles, she's a speaker, an entrepreneur, community builder, and a survivor. She is known in her community as the Queen Activator, a visionary leader in woman empowerment, helping women heal and create a life they love after childhood sexual abuse. Quetel, thank you for being on the show. You are now live.
Thank you, Amy.
Thank you, Amy. It's a pleasure to be here.
And Quetel, let's just dive right in. Child sexual abuse is a form of child abuse that includes sexual activity with a minor. That is a crime with lasting effects and is very prevalent. Unfortunately, it happens in boys and in girls. Statistics say that one in six boys are sexually abused before the age of 18, and 1 in 5 girls is sexually abused before the age of 18. Quetel, you are a survivor of child sexual abuse, as I am. So would you like to tell us your story?
I'm better known as Coach Q, the Queen Activator.
And I am a confidence healing coach.
I help Christian women leaders develop confidence and courage to acknowledge, address, and heal childhood sexual abuse. Through my business, Women of Royalty Management Solutions,
we help women survivors to share their stories through publication, media, and production.
And this all came from my story of being molested from the age of seven and raped to the age of 16 by my stepfather. From the time I realized what was being done to me.
Which was very early on. I was about seven, going on eight. I was not told by my mom or family members about safe touch at all.
I was informed by a teacher.
And it was not really a topic that they had in those days.
It was just out of a social studies lesson that just came about that she would mention, you shouldn't touch hair, you shouldn't touch places where anyone should not touch us.
And I'm thinking in the class, If this is wrong, I'm being touched.
So she informed us that if you are being touched in these areas, you should let your parents know.
That's where the confusion for me began because I'm like,
this is happening from one of my parents. So how do I handle this?
And so I end up telling my mom about the situation, telling her, my teacher told me about this,
and I'm being touched. And she was very angry at the time, very angry. Who's doing this to you?
And I told her, I said, Dad, who's that?
Because obviously I have my biological father who at that time had rejected me when I was three years old.
And I did have contact with him,
but not a relationship.
So for her, she wanted to know who this daddy was.
Because I called my stepfather daddy as well.
And so when I told her that it was my stepfather, she was sort of confused.
I mean, as a child looking back, I'm looking at her face, turning from anger to what I now know as confusion. And she questioned me, are you sure? She asked me to replace what I told her over and over, just to make sure that my story is what it is.
Like when she had asked me the first time.
And so I kept telling her the exact same thing, the stories of what was happening.
And for me, it all started with
with,
you know, not having,
you know, not my having father my father in my life, and wanting the love of a father,
wanting
that attention from
your
father who
you want to
love you and treat you like a princess.
And so
my stepfather would do
this thing called
story time.
And I was so excited
for story time because
my mom was a busy woman
and both of them were always in the church.
So I didn't think there was time for me.
And so when he created story time,
it was like someone taking time out to do something with me. And I felt special. And so I love story time. And story time was just him taking any book or telling me to select any book.
I would say, I want to read this one, Daddy. And he said, okay, we're going to read the story.
But it always happens when my mom is not home. And I didn't think that at the time because I'm thinking this is just me and Daddy time together.
And so it started off with him reading stories with me on the bed and he on the chair.
And it was fun.
And he would do the changing of the voice and everything animated for me. And I loved it.
The story escalated where
he would put me on his lap.
And then he would say, okay,
you're going to go on the lap. And
he would call it the
horsey ride.
As he tells the story,
he would find ways to add the horsey in the story where he would gallop.
And I would be on his lap. Okay, that was even more fun.
So I loved that.
And so it moved from me on his lap into the center of his lap.
And at that time, I'm just thinking it's fun.
And I'm enjoying myself.
I'm having a ball.
And I'm actually asking that.
Unfortunately, it always starts out subtle. They never let you know that they're mean or they're out to hurt you. That's just the way how clever the enemy is. But we will continue talking about beating the odds. We would love to hear from you when we
there
return.
Is also help.
We'll be right back with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
Amy Cabell and The Cure.
This show deals with suffering, the tenacity of the human spirit, and the courage to keep moving forward with the help of God. I want people to know that there's hope. I was forced into my abortion because I didn't think I had a choice. I want people to know there's choices.
Well, Amy, my heart is breaking. I just want you to know that I love you and I thank God for you.
Amy Cabell and The Cure.
Every Saturday at 1 Eastern on the Truth Network.
Goodbye, goodbye. I said you're my bestest buds. We said that we keep in touch and we did our best. All my new friends, we smile at party time, but soon we forget to smile at anything else. Won't you help me sober up? Growing up, it made me numb.
We will continue with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
Welcome back, and thanks for tuning in. This is Amy Cabell.
Remember that you can listen to the radio show live through our app The Cure with Amy Cabell or as a podcast. Just look for The Cure on any podcast platform.
The song that just played was Sober Up by AJR, and here's what I get from it. When we decide to follow Jesus, we straighten our life. As loyal as we may be, even long-term friendships can bring about strife. It seemed fun while it lasted. We were fooled for a while. But how did we feel without God every time we were faced with a trial? We can grow faster than others. It's not leaving them behind. We can pray for them and correct our ways, but we can no longer be blind. We know peace since we were made in Christ's image. How is it again? Being sober and growing up, not even faced by the rain? The days we feel happy, no matter what's going on, is when we paint with our favorite color and are young once again once God's will is done. We're Thank you to God. We're talking to Cattell, who is sharing her success story. But Cattell, you were telling us your story, and we went into break, and please do continue.
Oh, yeah. So I was actually sharing about at the stage where sexual abuse
or incest was introduced to me,
and how my stepfather introduced the story time.
So on from that story, from that point,
he started escalating from the story, telling the story, doing the horsey ride, and adding touching to my top part of my body.
It was just a subtle way, nothing vigorous.
So to me, it was just like, I'm just doing this as a part of the story. And then it escalated from rubbing the top of my body to the bottom of my body, and I felt like it was uncomfortable, but he assured me as daddy, why would he love and respect it at the time, that this is just a part of the story. And so it escalated from there to him actually touching me,
taking off my clothes
and, you know,
touching me in places that he should not.
When I addressed my mom about it, she confronted him. Of course, he denied it. He said he would not ever do something like that to me.
And in the middle of the night, when they thought I was sleeping, I could hear the arguments and whatever.
But when the morning had came, I thought, you know, something was going to happen. Maybe I was going to be taken out of the home, go to my grandma, or, you know, him being a policeman, I thought maybe my mom would not report it, but I thought that she probably would still try. Needless to say, nothing happened, and he ended up telling me after a few days, do you think your mom is going to believe you over me? It would never happen. So stop.
And it just kept going on and on. Where he would still do what I would tell. And nothing would happen. And it escalated to rape. When I told my mom, nothing happened.
And it just kept on going on.
Year after year, I felt defeated.
I felt like no one cared, no one loved me. And we were church people. We were going to church every Sunday, maybe three, four times out of the week.
And so it left me confused about the God I was being taught to serve.
I'm like,
what is going on?
We're serving this God whom they're serving.
And I'm being abused.
No one is doing anything. And so it left me confused about the God that I have grown to love.
And after so many years of not getting help and telling aunts and uncles and people, just anyone who had an heir,
I would tell. No one did anything. I went to church and told my pastor. He didn't do anything. As a matter of fact, I remember him coming to our home and talking to my parents and me overhearing him say, you know, you are up to be promoted as a minister. And so this has to be put away. So, you know, it left me feeling like no one really cared. I went to school. I told my guidance counselor. They brought in my parents and nothing was done.
And I'm so sorry, Cattell, that's feeling. That's what people have to understand, that, you know, it starts so subtly. It's always a red flag when a man wants to sit a child on their laps. That really shouldn't be happening.
Yeah.
And it always starts very subtle. And our stories are very similar. your father being a policeman, it's shocking. I mean, these perpetrators can be anyone. And the mother doesn't always protect the child. The same thing happened with me. My earliest memory was 7, even though he came into my life at 3. And, of course, at 3 it started subtly. And, you know, but this is what I learned, Clotel, is that, you know, from watching Freedom to Christ, that, you know, it happens to the best of us. It's because the enemy mm-hmm. wants to hold us back. He wants to break us down since we're very, very young so that we cannot make a difference in the world, because he knows we will make a difference in the world. And he knows we are special. And he knows God loves us dearly, and the more he wants to offend God. And it has nothing to do with you, but it has to do with him wanting to stop you. The enemy, that is. He wants to stop you, but God will always rescue you, and God will always show us the light. That's why you've made such a difference in the world. And nothing can stop you now, right?
Absolutely.
So, by the way, just to interfere here, there is help. If you are in a crisis, text 741-741 to get connected with a crisis counselor, for example. There is tons of help. I'm just going to say a couple of helpful messages like that through the show.
And, but it's very important, Quetel, to come forward and create awareness and tell your story. Because that is one of the main forms that you empower other women to be able to help one another and to be able to avoid further instances, since it is so prevalent. And tell me, how is it you describe, you know, bringing healing from ashes? Tell us your theory of how someone is able to come up from ashes and heal.
I wrote the book, Healing from the Ashes, because it was more than my story. For me, yes, writing it was therapeutic. But I want women to know that in spite of what you go through, in spite of the trauma that you experience and the things that, you know, people don't see when we put a smile on our face and we keep going, those things like the ashes of depression, rejection, fear, you know, suicidal thoughts, all these things that we have to fight or we have to face, I want them to know that the healing that comes from the Lord, the healing that comes from him saying that, you know, daughter or son, you know, I love you, I care for you, just like the Bible says, you know, that the Lord, he...
Hello? Yes, and we're going into break, but yes, God is always there for us, and that's the beautiful thing, you know. God is always bigger, always. So when we return, we'll continue talking to Quetel. We would love to hear from you.
Call us with your question on 1-866-34-TRUTH, or if you want to ask,
we'll be right back.
Or tell us your
Amy
success
Cabell
story. 1-866-34-TRUTH.
Not even thinking twice, everything's frozen. Nothing but you and I. Can't stop my heart from beating. Why do I love this feeling? Make me a promise, tell me you'll stay with me. If I'm being honest, I don't know where this leads, but that's the only question. Baby, don't keep me guessing. Making me give in. Oh, baby, I can't feel the rush of adrenaline. I'm not scared to jump if you want to. Let's just fall in love for the hell of it. Maybe just keep falling. I can't feel the rush of adrenaline. I'm not scared to jump cause I want you. Let's just fall in love for the hell of it. Maybe just keep falling.
And now we will continue with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
Welcome back. And remember, we're live every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern on your radio, on our app, The Cure, and our website, godisthecure.com.
All shows are available as a video podcast. Just look for The Cure with Amy Cabell, wherever podcasts are. There is also help. for if you're a victim of child sexual abuse. If you want to talk to someone anonymously, call the National Child Abuse Hotline at 1-800-4-A-CHILD. 1-800-4-A-CHILD.
That was Falling, Why Don't We? Another song by AJR. He's awesome.
Finally, you like him a lot.
I do.
Or her. I don't know. The him, I guess. Him.
There comes a moment that some of us are left with nothing but God and I. It seems unfortunate feeling alone, but there's more that meets the eye. It's when we don't question as God reaches out the most. Despite what we're suffering or how we self-diagnose, we cannot ignore the Holy Ghost. We can feel reckless, but we can't stop our hearts from beating. Having God present is like no other feeling. How far will we jump? To God we give in. Do we prefer peace within, or will we succumb to sin? We can keep falling as long as God is our muse. Despite the outcome unknown, who will we choose? What do I have to give up, Lord? What should I do? When it comes to you, God, I don't care what I go through. Anything I do, let it be inspired only from you. We're talking to Cotel, wow. The Duncombe, the Queen Activator, about healing. So, Cotel, you are a wonderful, beautiful person, and I love your smile. But you say behind the smile, there's ashes
Thank you. People don't
know about. You're welcome. And, you know, these are the long-lasting effects that people may not be aware of what a survivor can deal with when they grow up. Such things as guilt and shame and blame and low self-esteem. Awesome. They can get PTSD, depression. They can acquire substance abuse, dissociation, and including suicide. And all these things can be long-lasting effects. But I don't know about you, Quetel, but for me, the only cure was God. And I did go through all these things. And you can be very challenged. And I did try everything, every medication under the sun, every therapy possible, every doctor, every psychiatrist, nothing worked. I don't take medications anymore. I don't see a doctor. God is super good. That's all I can say.
Yes, he is.
And
yes, he is.
And but Cotel, how can friends help? How do we react if somebody tells us they're being sexually abused? Because unfortunately, we can't always count on the people that are supposed to protect us, on the people that are supposed to love us, or even ministers who said you have to put this behind you, which I'm quite surprised. So, you know, what can friends do to help if they're aware of a situation like this?
You know, I've just had this situation with a client this week where, you know, they were in a situation where they had actually waited until they were 50 plus years to share their story with their family members and their friends, and everyone was in denial and did not believe them. Wow. And it put her in a state where she felt like she didn't want to live anymore because of that one thing. We have to be careful when people come to us with their dark secrets or their dark issues, because it takes a lot of fortitude to even come out with some of the things that people have gone through. And so I want to encourage and admonish people that when you are trusted with someone's secret or their, you know, abuse or hurt or pain, you know, first of all, don't give them any sudden or the quick approach to whatever you think it would be. Pray, especially if you're a Christian, pray about it and let the Holy Spirit guide you. But I also, first of all, says be have some empathy. Have empathy and do not be quick to tell them you don't believe them. You know, have empathy, have sympathy, and pray. I would also ask that person that is facing that situation to consult maybe a pastor. And I know my situation was different, but I do not believe that all pastors are the same. And so, you know, you have to find someone that you trust. And so, yeah, find a pastor, a trusted friend, someone who is a believer, who are going to give you that godly instruction, as opposed to someone who do not believe in the Lord and just say something random like, oh, girl, I don't believe you, or are you serious? Or that's, you know, I don't, you know, that cannot be. Because that can set that person back a whole lot more years than you believe. Because, you know, they have been holding this thing for so long, and at that point where they actually do come out, they need to be supported.
And maybe it's important not to immediately go to the person that's emotionally involved with the perpetrator, but somebody that's neutral, somebody that might make a difference, because the person who's emotionally involved might keep you from telling anyone else, or discourage you, or try to make you feel like it's false memory or something like that.
Yes.
And most importantly, it's great that a teacher alerted you to what was going on. But isn't it just as important for us to talk to our children about this, to tell them about the dangers, to tell them what to look for, since it's so prevalent? Isn't it Absolutely. Better to have preventative measures? And tell us how we can do this.
Exactly.
And at what age should we approach a child and start talking to them about good touching and bad touching, including it can be any family member? We need to let them know it can be anyone.
I believe as soon as you start to teach your child how to eat, because if you can teach your child, hold a spoon and you do this and you put this in your mouth, you can start showing them when you're touching them. You can start letting them know. Because I believe that just like how as these three-year-olds and four-year-olds right now, you could put a laptop or a device in their hand and they could swipe and they can find certain things. I don't know if it's at 3 years old, but I'm sure at four, they can swipe and they can find their way and navigate. I have a godson and he can navigate his way at 4 years old on a computer. So if these kids are that wise at that age, I think that the earlier the better we start teaching them about safe touch. And even, you know, when they are old enough to speak, when we're teaching them to speak, and you give them the signs and signals of what, you know, where to protect, you let them know that it doesn't matter if it's mommy, if it's daddy, if it's sister or if it's brother. If someone is touching you there, that's a no-no. And so as early as three or four, I would start to teach children about safe touch. I did it with my own kids. And I started at 4 years old teaching them, you know, even daddy shouldn't touch you in certain places, you know. When my husband would bathe my children, he would leave that part to them. He would teach them to do that if I'm not there.
Themselves.
So, yeah, we have to be very careful.
Right. No, and it is very important, because my stepfather came into my life at 3 years old, but by seven, it had become painful. So it can start at three, and you need to let them know as soon as they're able to communicate, as soon as they're able to speak. And you're right. It's never too young to get them to realize the difference between right and wrong.
By the way, now with all this COVID situation, what do you think, Mateo? Is it more dangerous? I think it's definitely more dangerous with people stuck at home, you know, not going anywhere. Some kids don't even go to school. What do you think about that?
And even the opportunities for perpetrators to target their victims through online.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, school and going out was a safe haven for a lot of children. I know for me, I couldn't wait to go to school. I couldn't wait to go to church, or couldn't wait to get out. So this is definitely, you know, I pray for all the children out there, children and young women,
to continue addressing this after the break, because a lot of kids are at risk because of this lockdown. and we need to find a way to rectify the situation somehow and protect them.
We would love to hear from you. Call us about your story or ask a question. 1-866-34-TRUTH. 1-866-34-TRUTH.
We will be right back with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
Amy Cabo and The Cure.
This show deals with suffering, the tenacity of the human spirit, and the courage to keep moving forward with the help of God. I want people to know that there's hope. I was forced into my abortion because I didn't think I had a choice. I want people to know there's choices.
Well, Amy, my heart is breaking. I just want you to know that I love you and I thank God for you.
Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Every Saturday at 1 Eastern on the Truth Network.
Here I am, and it makes my summer plans. By my land, give a cheer, 'cause you're only going up from here. This month, I got 7 haircuts, and now my hair is undone. Too long, so I keep getting haircuts. It's my all time low, and I just can't wait. 'Cause the quicker I'm there, it's the quicker I'll sing.
By my lamp, here I am. Bet it makes my summer plans. By my lamp, give it to you. 'Cause you're only going up from here. By my lamp, here I am.
Now we will continue with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
Hi again, guys, and thanks for tuning in. Remember, we're live every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern on your radio, on our app, The Cure, and on social media. Just look for God is a Cure, because He is.
Yes, He is. And later the show will be available as a podcast. Search for The Cure with Amy Cabell, wherever the podcasts are, or search God is the Cure on any podcast channel. Remember, there is always help if you are a victim of sexual assault. The National Sexual Assault Hotline can be called 24/7 and 1-800-656-HOPE. 1-800-656-HOPE.
The song that you just heard was Boomerland, another song by AJR.
Yep. I guess today's an AJR day.
And I love that song. It's a great song because it's a bummer. Sometimes, where have we arrived? Where is the love? Our ideas of life and everything we believed in from our Heavenly Father above. If we've been hit hard before, think again. It can get worse. It can get us derailed, but please stay on course. Know that with God there's only one way. That is up. We must pray. God never goes away. Trust in God's plan, though we may not understand. Just know that His love for us is greater than every grain of sand. It is with God that we see beauty and we learn to take a stand. Quetel, so here's the thing. You know, we all have challenges in life. You know, I hear that it sanctifies our souls. And I hear that it converts sinners. So you can look at it that way. But for those of us, you know, that have been hurt, that haven't come out, that haven't been able to tell our story, that are still hurting, I want you guys to know there's hope. You can always start anew. Yeah. You could always make a difference. You could always use it for the better. And what's difficult is that we're challenged with these times that can be uncertain, but it's when times are scary is when faith is it when you there's most merit in faith. And speaking of the lockdowns, what concerns me is the kids, because sometimes you know, because of stressful behaviors or because of greater opportunities, bad things can happen, whether it be on the internet or whether it be behind closed doors, because now this child doesn't have a teacher to talk to or a friend to talk to. Yeah. And now it's a more of an isolated, controlled environment. And I wonder if our leaders are taking that into account, taking children's safety into account. And I think that's more dangerous yeah. than the COVID itself. What's your take? Mm-hmm. What do you think, Patel? What has been your experience?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely, Amy. You know, like I was saying before the break, you know, these most kids like myself going out of the home because of what was going on was a safe haven for me. It was, you know, being able to get away from the abuse for a while and being able to rejuvenate yourself, to recollect yourself, to, you know, to feel yourself again. Because when you're locked away in that home, for me, I used to be dreading when it's nighttime because I knew what would happen once it's nighttime and everyone is going to sleep. And so I just pray for those kids, like I said, who are for March, that's like a whole lot of months. That's what, 8-9 months, you know, we have to, and for parents, the parents, I'm asking you to look at signs, look at the way your children are acting. And you may say, maybe it's the lock-in for the COVID, but check, you know, have a conversation with your children, ask them, you know, how are they doing? You know, is there anything that they need to, you know, to say, or is there anything going on that they need to confine? You know, just talk. We have to talk to the children. And although they may not come out because of fear, they know that they're not going anywhere. They know you're not going anywhere. And so if the abuser is in the home, they may still be afraid to. But I would still tell parents to check your home through the night. You know, check with your children where they're asleep. Walk through your home, you know, see what's going on. Be alert, you know, and look at signs. There's signs. There are always signs. There are always signs. The children may withdraw from speaking or, you know, decide not to eat or eating a lot. It's all kinds of signs. If you see your children doing things that they normally don't do, then
any changes in behavior basically doesn't necessarily
need to be attributed
to the lockdown, and there can be something more nefarious going on. And so parents have to keep an open lines of communication. And it's okay to look at their computer, at their social media, at maybe what they're writing in their diary.
Absolutely.
Because if it's difficult for adults to tell their story, imagine kids who are even more afraid and maybe don't want to hurt the parent and don't see it that they're being victimized, but rather that they're going to hurt the parent, because often kids blame themselves. And that's why kids take advantage of so much, unfortunately. And
also, they also have the abuser telling them, you know, you're going to destroy the home. You know, you have a lot of abusers. I know my stepfather said to me, that, you know, you're going to separate me and your mom, and then they're going to take me away, and then you will have no daddy. And I dreaded not having a father, although that father was not a good example of a father, but that's all I had. And so although I still spoke, I was threatened about breaking up the home.
And sometimes if the other parent's not a good parent, that may be the only love the child knows. And the child may not know they're being harmed, but rather that's the only love they feel they're receiving. So it's very important for the parent to step in and be there for the child. And like you said, any change in behavior, whether they're doing poorly in school, well, nowadays with the internet, most kids are doing bad in school, but there's other signs. But
A lot of other signs,
and not just signs with the kid. If you see any adult, whether it be an uncle or a father, that's spending too much time with just one particular kid, wants to be alone with that kid, gives extra attention or favoritizes that kid is his favorite, or gives that child more attention, those are usually red flags, something to look into. You want to open up the communications with the kid, not the perpetrator. They're not going to tell you anything.
But, absolutely.
But it's not, you can't, all, it, there's ways that you can see it, not just from the kid, but also from the perpetrator itself. It's not normal for an adult to want to spend time with just one child all the most of the time.
Yes.
Anyway, they usually divide their attention equally. So, but, Quetzal, and, you know, the most important thing, I think, because this could be a very rough start. And there's many other tragedies that can happen. But what best advice would you give to someone that has a rough start? Because I know that for me, it's very important to have a good relationship with a higher being, of which I know is God. It's essential to life. It's essential to healing. And it's essential to empowerment. Some people may not.
Yes,
go ahead.
Sorry, I can hear.
And some people may not believe in God.
Yeah, so what I would like to say to that person is there is hope. I want them to understand that what has happened to them is not their fault, but recovery is their responsibility. And they can do that through, you know, building a relationship with the Lord. Because I always tell people there is a three-prong approach to healing. And that's having faith in God, having
a
choice,
almost
and making a plan.
With today's show. Can you just finish like a few sentences?
She was. So it's healing,
okay.
Having faith, and making a plan. Because you're not in control
having
of what
plan,
happened
yes.
to you, but you're in control on how you move forward, on how you continue your life.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Quetzal.
Absolutely.
And believe it or not, we're done with the show, and it's been a wonderful show. Thank you, Quetzal. And
you.
I hope that our listeners got some good information from this. And for more information, it can be found on Facebook. Search for the Queen Activator. Thank you so much, Quetzal. And also, thank you to our producer, Beth Ann, the Truth Protector, for being with us. Making the show sound good, and making the music possible. Thanks to the Christian car guy, Robbie Dillmore, for his continuing guidance. I love his shows. Now let's pray a prayer for survivors. Ready for this, Quetzal? Jesus, by becoming human, you have elevated the human body to the dignity of divinity. Sadly, there are among us those whose bodies have been savaged by other ones who have been called to serve and protect them. These crimes cry out for justice and for healing, and we raise our voices in prayer for the healing. For our brothers and sisters, we acknowledge that by our silence and our blindness, we are complicit in these crimes and sins, and we ask for forgiveness. Lord Jesus, during your life on earth, you were known as a healer of bodies, minds, and spirits. Send your healing spirit upon these brothers and sisters of ours that they may begin to experience some light, peace, and joy in this life. Pour your spirit of peace into their hearts, of their families, parents, brothers and sisters, spouses, and children, that they may recover a sense of your presence in their lives and make us all more sensitive to the need to protect our children from those who might harm them, that your body here on earth may be made whole to the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. This is Amy Cabo. You have been listening to The Cure. Thank you to our listeners for being with us. Took us 100,000 downloads of The Cure podcast. And until next week, be kind. Give it your best and stay safe in this pandemic and crazy times. But remember, this too shall pass. And until next Saturday, much love. Be true to your values and keep the faith.
Thank you for listening to The Cure with Amy Cabo. For more information or to get Amy's book, Love is the Answer, God is the Cure, or to listen to the podcasts of previous shows, visit GodIsTheCure.com.